from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. And we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our program for today. So, stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia committed to providing legal aid for the poor. Indonesia and the Netherlands strengthen cooperation in law and security field. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Law and Human Rights, Yasona Lauli, attended the collaboration event of the Dutch Indonesia in legal field. In the event with theme Indonesia-Netherlands Rule of Law and Security Update 2018, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, January 17, Minister Yasona also said that the Indonesian government is committed to providing legal aid for the poor to increase access on justice and strengthen legislation in Indonesia.
Indonesia has a strong commitment for SDGs, access to justice and legal aid for the poor. Legal aid is a state obligation as stated in our law number 16, year 2011. We are committed to provide funding for legal aid even though due to limited budget, we have not been able to allocate a significant amount of budget for this purpose.
Furthermore, Minister Yasona Lauli emphasized on implementing the legislation. Indonesia has cooperated relations with communities organizations, starting from making regulation until handing over legal aid and service. The relations become key element of the implementation process. Since 2013, the legal aid has been free for the poor's program, which has reached benefits. In 2016, the number of the receivers of the program has reached almost 40,000 people, and in 2017, the number increased almost 50,000 people. The government of Indonesia and the Netherlands enhance cooperation in law through development of capacity, research, training, and technical exchange. The Dutch ambassador to Indonesia, Rob Swartbol, in the event of Indonesia-Netherlands Rule of Law and Security Update 2018 in Jakarta on Wednesday, January 17, said that on one hand, the two countries share knowledge in substantive aspect and structure of law because of similar DNA law. On the other hand, both countries face similar new challenges such as to create inclusive society and make regulations of using internet and technology.
On the one hand, our two countries share a number of commonalities in substantive law and legal structure. This is what we always refer to as our common legal DNA. On the other hand, we are facing similar challenges. How to create inclusive societies, how to regulate the use of internet and social media, or to curb cybercrime. How to regulate the latest blockchain technologies, how to fight climate change and environmental degradation, how to deal with illegal fishing. Both countries have to find answers to these new challenges.
Meanwhile, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Indonesia, Muhammad Hatta Ali, said that with the roots of the same legal system, collaboration between Indonesia and the Netherlands is not only important but also strategic. Furthermore, Ambassador Rob Swartbol said that equal partnership between Indonesia and the Netherlands is conducted to enhance quality and effectiveness of the court apparatus. Indonesian Ambassador to Canada, Teguh Fazia Shah, conducted official visit to a number of ministers and officials of Newfoundland and Labrador Province, Canada on January 15 to 16, 2018 to explore cooperation in various fields. As reported by Antara News Agency, the Indonesian Embassy in Ottawa in a press statement on Thursday said that the visit is aimed to explore some cooperation between Indonesia and Canada in the field of employment, maritime, trade, education, technology, or culture. Ambassador Teuku Fazliasya also said that there is potential cooperation opportunity between Indonesia and Newfoundland and Labrador provinces. The provinces have superiority in maritime, which can be synergized with Indonesian commitment to maximize the strategic opportunities of the Indonesian maritime sector. The ambassador added that Indonesia, along with the provinces, also pursues cooperation to fill trained and semi-trained job vacancy. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government, through Ministry of Foreign Affairs and related ministries, is discussing the establishment of the government's agency, which will be responsible for providing international aid for Indonesia. Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Cecep Herawan, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the establishment of the agency becomes one of national priorities which must be implemented in the near future. He also stated that so far the international aid programs which are targeted to South countries and developing countries have been conducted and spread out at the government ministries and agencies. As written by Republika Online, with the existence of the agency, the international aid from Indonesia can be conducted through one door. The initiative of the ministry and related agencies is handed over to the one agency. Synergy with the government's agencies will be easy because there is only one door through the agency. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta on Thursday received the chairman of the Election Supervisory Board, Bawaslu, to discuss preparations for the 2019 election abroad. Press releases quoted by the Foreign Ministry's official website in Jakarta on Thursday said last Friday, January 12, that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs entered into an overseas election. Press release quoted by the Foreign Ministry's official website in Jakarta on Thursday, January 18, said that last Friday, January 12, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs entered into an overseas election cooperation agreement with the General Election Commission, KPU. The purpose of the agreement is to conduct cooperation in the framework of the 2019 general election for Indonesian citizens overseas. The agreement is a guideline for the Election Commission and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in carrying out their respective duties and responsibilities to carry out elections abroad. Ministry of Foreign Affairs overseeing 132 Indonesian representatives overseas is committed to assisting the success and smoothness of the elections abroad in 2019 in accordance with the mandate of the Election Law No. 7, year 2017. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin called for all Muslims to jointly defend Palestine. The call was conveyed by Minister Lukman Hakim as a keynote speaker at the Al-Azhar International Conference to Defend Palestine on January 17 to 18, 2018 at Al-Azhar University, Cairo, Egypt. In his written statement quoted by Republika Online in Jakarta on Thursday, January 18, he emphasized that the Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds Al-Sharif must remain in the minds of every Muslim. He also affirmed that the special position in Islam must be understood by every generation. In the presence of the Al-Azhar academic community and world religious leaders, Minister Lukman Hakim asserted Indonesia's support for the Palestinian struggle never fades, even improving. Indonesia will continue to provide support not only in the form of political support but also capacity building and support to the Palestinian economy. And the last item, Indonesia is committed to actively promoting development cooperation among developing countries within the South-South Cooperation Framework. Indonesia's commitment was affirmed by Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Cecep Herawan, in a meeting with journalists covering Indonesian diplomacy at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, January 18. He said that since becoming the chairman of the Non-Alliance Movement in 1992, Indonesia has firmly launched foreign aid, especially technical cooperation, to developing countries within the framework of South-South cooperation. He also explained that the Indonesian government is currently finalizing the presidential decree on management of international assistance. This legal umbrella will be set from the formulation of policies, program proposal mechanism, to the financing and evaluation of international assistance to be provided by Indonesia. Some programs that have been forced by Indonesia are like development program, good governance, and economic program. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia committed to providing legal aid for the poor. Indonesia and the Netherlands strengthen cooperation in law and security field. And listener, that was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today, entitling the third reshuffle cabinet. During the period of his government that began in 2014, President Joko Widodo has reshuffled his cabinet for the third time on Wednesday, January 16. There was a change of ministers. They are Idrus Marham, replacing Kofifah Indar Parawangsa, who resigned as Minister of Social Affairs. General Teni Retirement Muldoko as Chief of Staff of President, replacing Teten Mas Duki. Agum Gumelar as a member of the Presidential Advisory Council, replacing Hashim Muzadi. In addition, the President also inaugurated Marshal Madya Yuyu Sutisna as Air Force Chief of Staff. Related to the reshuffle, Head of Presidential Staff, President Joko Widodo said that the presence of Teten Mas Duki remains within the palace, but now he becomes the special staff coordinator. But in detail, his duty will be submitted by the Secretary of State. With the change of position, President Joko Widodo views that Teten Mas Duki will continue to be close to himself, specifically in the executions of duties of the President. After the inauguration, Chief of Presidential Staff Muldoko said that he had communicated with Teten Mas Duki to continue the work programs that exist in the institution of the presidential staff. Muldoko's communication are done to consolidate a number of work programs at the new institution in his office. It is intended that all the national work programs of government's Nawacita can be completed in 2019. Meanwhile, Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Agus Hermanto, views that the cabinet reshuffle will not change the political constellation. He also pointed out that Idrus Marham and Khofifah are both supporters of Jokowi Yusuf Kala. Agus Hermanto sees little change in the position of Minister of Social Affairs from Khofifah Indar Parawangsa to Idrus Marham. Agus assessed that the cabinet reshuffle is the prerogative of the President. Indeed, the third cabinet reshuffle does not change significantly in the performance of the government. The purpose of the cabinet reshuffle is certainly to improve the performance of the cabinet ministers of government in the implementation of the Nawacita programs of the government. We can see that the positions are replaced by many vacant positions, such as Social Affairs Minister, Presidential Advisory Board, and Air Force Chiefs of Staff. So politically, this does not disturb the work programs of Nawacita. In addition, it seems that President Joko Widodo does not want political turmoil in his government. Because the year 2018 is called as a kind of political year that he says at every opportunity. So the stability and harmony of the cabinet in the government must continuously be maintained. In addition, the increasing number of ex-military elements within the government indicates the importance of strong people from the established environment in maintaining the stability of the situation and the field condition in completing the government's work programs until 2019. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on January 18, 1919, when Paris Peace Conference was begun. January 1919 was a historical peace conference which was held at Versailles Palace, Paris, France. The conference was participated in by 27 countries and led by Prime Minister of France at that time, Georges Clemenceau. In the conference, Versailles Agreement was signed and it contained of order for Germany, which lost World War I, to pay enormous compensation and surrendered part of territory to Allied countries. The conference also discussed the establishment of the League of Nations. The next event is that in 1993, Day of Martin Luther King Jr. was commemorated for the first time in 50 states of the United States of America. Priest Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta, Georgia, the United States of America, on January 15, 1929. He was an activist of human rights of African American citizens. He became one of the important leaders in U.S. history and in the non-violent history in modern era, and considered as hero, peace, and martyr creator by many people throughout the world. In 1963, he received Peace Nobel Award. He was shot dead when he held an action in Memphis on April 4, 1968. Actually, in 1983, the United States of America decided his birth, January 15, as a holiday to commemorate it. It called Day of Martin Luther King. But on January 18, 1993, the day for the first time was commemorated in 50 states of the US. And the last event was in 2000, when meteor fell on Tagish Lake, Canada. And from the research on the meteorite was revealed the origin of water on Earth. A rock from outer space, or usually called meteor, fell on Tagish Lake, Canada on January 8, 2000. When it happened, the residents surrounding area saw light like star fell on the lake. Then there was the explosion. A number of scientists, either local or international, held research on this object. After learning the meteorite, the scientists from Tohoku University, Japan, presumed that most water on Earth comes from collisions with asteroids at 4.6 billion years ago. They identified the meteorite into type of chondrite carbo. The rock came from an asteroid which is located at the point between Mars and Jupiter. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Today, we'll present you a topic about the Indonesian government seriously recovers Citarum River. The Indonesian government seriously restores condition and environment along the basin of Citarum River. Citarum River is located in West Java and flows 8 districts and cities. Citarum River, as the longest river in West Java, is a source of water for 3 large reservoirs. The damage in the Citarum River basin reaches 800,000 hectares. Uncontrolled problems of industrial waste, agriculture, livestock, and household have also damaged the water quality. As a result, the water cannot be consumed. Pollution and serious sedimentation also occur up to the downstream of the river. President Joko Widodo held a limited meeting on the revitalization of Citarum River on Tuesday, January 16 in Bandung. The president requested that the recovery of the Citarum River should be done quickly and should be completed within 7 years. He asked all central and regional governments to work together because the river management must be integrated, starting from the preparation of the concept, implementation to the supervision in the field. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Panjaitan has targeted the water of Citarum River can be consumed in the next 5 to 10 years. The government is ready to spend trillions of rupiah from the state revenue and expenditure budget and regional revenue and expenditure budget. According to him, the government of West Java province cannot solve the Citarum River problem alone, and it needs synergy. Therefore, President Joko Widodo will soon issue a presidential regulation. Minister Luhut Panjaitan said in a press release in Jakarta on Wednesday that at an early stage, the government will start rehabilitating the forest and inviting both civilian and military leaders in their respective regions to call all communities to tackle this issue together. The Citarum River will be divided into 22 sectors, and high-ranking TNI officials are demanded to coordinate with environmental experts, lawyers, humanists, students, and the whole community. Previously, the Regional Military Command Kodam 3 Siliwangi has initiated the revitalization of the Citarum River since early 2018 by cleaning from upstream to downstream area. Head of Information of Kodam 3 Siliwangi, Colonel Desi Arianto, explained the Citarum upstream area was done with a greening movement on an area of 690,000 hectares. Therefore, it takes 121 million trees. In 1 to 6 months, they plan to restore the area by cleaning up garbage, reducing sedimentation and building communal toilets. Commander of Regional Military 3 Siliwangi, Doni Monardo, also conveyed his presentation before the entrepreneurs related to the revitalization of Citarum River on Friday, January 12. A number of entrepreneurs have expressed their commitment to participate in the recovery of Citarum River ecosystem. Various forms of contribution will be accommodated through a foundation, which will be established, especially related to the recovery of Citarum River. On that occasion, hundreds of entrepreneurs from various regions were invited to discuss about the recovery issues. A number of business people then agreed to distribute relief funds amounting to 20 billion rupiah. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli attended the collaboration event of the Dutch-Indonesia in Law Field. In the event with theme Indonesia-Netherlands Rule of Law and Security Update 2018, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Yasona also said that Indonesian government is committed to providing legal aid for the poor to increase access on justice and strengthen legislation in Indonesia. The government of Indonesia and the Netherlands enhance cooperation in law through development of capacity, research, training, and technical exchange. Indonesian Ambassador to Canada, Tuku Faiziasyah, conducted official visit to a number of ministers and officials of Newfoundland and Labrador Province, Canada, on January 15 to 16, 2018, to explore cooperation in various fields. The Indonesian government, through Ministry of Foreign Affairs and related ministries, is discussing the establishment of the government's agency, which will be responsible for providing international aid from Indonesia. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta on Thursday received the chairman of the Election Supervisory Board, Bawaslu, to discuss preparations for the 2019 election abroad. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin called for all Muslims to jointly defend Palestine. The call was conveyed by Minister Lukman Hakim as a keynote speaker at the Al-Azhar International Conference to Defend Palestine on January 17 to 18, 2018 at Al-Azhar University, Cairo, Egypt. And the last item, Indonesia is committed to actively promoting development cooperation among developing countries within the South-South Cooperation Framework. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Let's
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour to Kudus Regency, Central Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Kudus is a regency in Central Java province. It is widely known as the largest cigarette-producing city or kretek in Central Java and the Santri City. The city is a center of Islamic religious development in the Middle Ages. It is seen from the existence of tombs of Gaudian or Sunan, the spreader of Islam in Java, such as the tomb of Sunan Kudus and Sunan Muria. In addition to visit to the Sunan tombs, there are many other exciting objects in Kudus that you can visit, such as Mount Moria, Kretek Museum, Simpang Tuju, and the Kudus Tower. After having satisfied to visit the interesting tourism objects in Kudus, you must also enjoy a variety of delicious culinary, such as Lentok Tanjung. The name of Kudus typical culinary consists of the words lentok or and tanjung. Lentok or lontong is a food made from rice wrapped in banana leaves, while tanjung or Tanjung Karang is the name of village in Jati sub-district, Kudus Regency. This culinary originally came from the village, but now lentok Kudus then sold in Kudus and other areas in all over the archipelago. The lentok tanjung consists of lontong as its main ingredient. Uniquely, the size of lentok is the same to the adult calf. In a portion of lentok tanjung consists of small pieces of lontong with vegetable side of young jackfruit, tofu and tempeh, coconut milk as the sauce, and sprinkled with fried onions. When eaten, it tastes delicious, especially when eaten in warm. Listener, lentok usually served with a small plate with banana leaf, which is suitable for breakfast dishes. To enjoy the culinary, you do not use a spoon. You can use a suru or spoon from a banana leaf. Lentok tanjung will be more delicious when eaten with an additional side of quail egg satay, intestine satay, plus crackers. To enjoy the Lentok Tanjung, you can visit Tanjung Karang Village, Jati Sub-District, Kudus Regency. There are rows of small stalls selling Lentok Tanjung at the village. In addition, you can also enjoy the culinary in some food stalls scattered in Kudus. The price is relatively affordable, about 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lentok Tanjung. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. The world appreciates the diversity in Indonesia, as well as its ability in preserving its unity, stability, and peace among the diverse people. That was stated by President Joko Widodo in April 2017. At the same month, Vice President of America Michael Richard Pence visited the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta, simply out of amazement of the diversity of Indonesian people. The 652 diverse traditional languages in Indonesia are never the reason to split the nation. Instead, they can unite the country, which had been proven since 1928, when the youths from every corner of the archipelago gathered in Kuitang. All of them agreed that our language is Indonesian, our nation is Indonesia, and our motherland is Indonesia. Such spirit must be lit up again in all children of the nation. Diversity is truly beautiful, yet it is faced with many challenges. Among many is the declining spirit of unity in Indonesia. Such threat against unity was caused not only by economy and politics. According to Dr. Johnny, traditional language of Indonesia apparently also shares a significant role.
Permasalahan bahasa daerah Indonesia ini adalah permasalahan yang sangat penting.
The issue of traditional language in Indonesia is quite critical. It is as important as the economy. Language is a treasure, and in Indonesia we have a lot of them. There are around 300 million speakers in Indonesia.
Sangat luar biasa. Jumlah penuturnya sekitar kurang lebih sudah 300 juta penduduk Indonesia.
Losing a traditional language means losing identity of a nation, because language is part of it. Therefore, preservation needs to be carried out more overtly, because this had been mandated in the Constitution. All efforts to preserve the nation, including literature, is not real materially and economically. However, it is a struggle to give a significant contribution of the soul, feeling, spirit, and core of a nation. An extension of language is not only about the vocabulary or grammar, but also invaluable cultural heritage of a nation. That was My Language, a program informing you the diverse traditional language in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from an Indonesian group band, The Love It. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Titik Noda by The Love It Group. Happy listening.
Thank you. sang air hujan semua menambah keberian. Hujan pun turut semakin deras, begitu juga air matanya. Dia
Droid Dan consisted of six personnel: Bartje van Houten, guitarist; Andre Gultom, saxophone and flute player and backing vocalist; Samsur Hashim, main vocalist; Khairul Daud, the drummer; Budiman Pulungan, keyboardist; and Sangkah Panggabean, the bassist. Then the Droid has new members, namely Justian, second guitarist player; Johani Fatmarida Susilo, flute and saxophone players; and Toto, the bassist. The Droid was known by music lovers in the country since 1970s. Precisely after the release of their first album, with hit single Titik Noda in 1972. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Apa Salah dan Dosaku. Happy listening.
Begini dengan derita yang tiada akhir.
Listener, the song you've just listened, Apa Salah dan Dosaku, is a hit single from The Lawit. It is usually composed by Barje van Houten, or familiarly called Barje. The songs are, among others, Titik Noda, Apa Salah dan Dosaku, Mengapa Harus Jumpa, Keagungan Tuhan, Tak Mungkin, Oh Di Mana, and Semalam di Malaysia. To conclude our segment for today, listener, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Semalam di Malaysia and Cinta Hampa by The Lawit Group. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Aku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Oh, bercinta. Ku punya cara yang tersendiri.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.